You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being here. Before diving in, I wanted to thank Taylor's family and friends for making the trip to join us, including his wife, Chantel, and his kids, Alex, JC, Austin, and Avery. At the outset of this process, we set out to find a partner who shared our vision of working tirelessly towards a goal of achieving sustainable success. In establishing Taylor Jenkins as the new head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies, we're confident that we found that partner. Over the course of his time in San Antonio, Austin, Atlanta, and Milwaukee, Taylor cut his teeth, refined his elite basketball acumen, and demonstrated his ability to meaningfully connect with players. Taylor brings many unique qualities to the table, including incredibly strong organizational skills and a desire to instill a culture of competition. We look forward to working hand in hand with Taylor to make the city of Memphis proud.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for being here, and I'm honored and humbled to be the new head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies. I got a couple of things to say, so bear with me. First, some thank yous to Robert, Zach, Tayshaun, Jason. This has been an unbelievable process, learning about the organization, the vision for the team, the partnership that we want to create. It's exciting for me to know that I have great people to work with, and I look forward to building on the already excitement that we have and the day in and day out work that we're going to put together. I'm super excited about working for the Grizzlies. It's a passion organization. From the vision that I just spoke about, the people, it's going to be special for me and for my family. The staff that I ultimately build, the partnership I talk about goes beyond just me and the two gentlemen that are up here. And that, you know, invigorates me every single day that what we ultimately want to build from a vision standpoint, that there's going to be the effort, the collaboration, the care and the love that we need to put into it. I'm super excited about the summer ahead. I've already gotten to talk to, you know, some of the players and, you know, the amount of work that they're already putting in the summer and then how that's going to carry into a great start to next season. It's our daily work habits that are going to carry us through our journey. And I can't wait to roll my sleeves up, get ready for summer league, get after on the court with our guys and continuing to build this program. So, you know, my basketball journey, there's a lot of people I would love to thank. I don't have all the time in the world, so bear with me just for a few of the people that I do want to mention. You know, from my, you know, beginnings with the Spurs and the Toros, guys that initially took the chance on me, gave me my first shot and helped me become the coach that I am today. R.C. Buford, Coach Pop, Quinn Snyder, Del Demps, and Coach Jones, who's actually here, you know, with the Grizzlies in the Hustle. Those guys gave me my first shot and took a leap of faith to put me in the position to grow as a coach and, you know, put me in this wonderful position as a new head coach of the Grizzlies. I want to thank all the players I've worked with in San Antonio, Austin, Atlanta, Milwaukee. You guys made me the coach I am today, and I appreciate everything you've done for me, the relationships on and off the court, and I hopefully carry that as a head coach now. The Bucks, I want to thank ownership, Wes Edens, Mark Lazary, Jamie Dynan, John Horst and his staff. I was there for 1 year, but you guys were amazing, and I appreciate everything you did for me professionally, but even more so personally for me and my family. This will be the top. You know, basketball is an amazing sport. It creates relationships that last a lifetime. Tayshaun's nodding his head. He knows, first and foremost, my brothers in basketball. They might be watching right now. Darvin Ham, Charles Lee, Ben Sullivan, Pat St. Andrews, Josh Longstaff, Vin Baker, Nevin Spahia, and Kenny Atkinson. You know how I feel. Thank you, and I love you guys. To Coach Bud, he took a chance on me. You gave me great responsibility, and you challenged me to get better every single day, and you prepared me to have the confidence to be ready to take the next step to be a head coach. I thank you, and I love you. There's a lot of people here today that have been there from the beginning. And God has blessed me so much with wonderful people, amazing people, and they're a big reason why I'm here today. Spencer, my agent, thank you for everything you've done for me, but again, most importantly, what you've done for me and my family. Sorry about that. My head coach from high school, Scott Jolly, thank you for teaching me what it meant to coach with passion. Hopefully I, you know, make you proud in how I coach with passion. Two guys that aren't here today, my grandparents, but especially my grandfather Vetter and my grandfather Jenkins. Their love of sports, their love of me. I will always remember you guys being there to support me day in and day out. Two of my childhood friends, Chad Bailey and Paul Trejo, from coaching Little League, you know, youth basketball, whether it was at St. Mark's or at Penn, I will carry those memories with me forever, and they truly did shape me into being the coach I am today. My brother, Jimmy, you motivate me every single day. Thank you for all your love. My dad, I will always remember what you told me. Son, make sure you wake up every single day doing something that you love, and I can truly say I'm doing that. My aunts, Judy and Sally, you know, you're like mothers to me. Thank you for always the big sister advice. My mom, you've always been there for me. And sports, traveling the world, making life decisions in college and career, and becoming the man that I am today. I have that thing in my office that says you're my biggest fan, and I'll always remember that. So my kids, Alex, JC, Austin, and Avery, you inspire me. You inspire me to be the best I can be every single day. You give me the ultimate joy, and you challenge me to be the best dad. And I've told people this all the time, by being the best dad, I can be the best coach. And being the best coach helps me be the best dad. And lastly, my beautiful wife, Chantal, my best friend, my rock. This career's taken us from San Antonio to Austin to Atlanta to Milwaukee and to our new home in Memphis. You've been there every step of the way. Your love and support, the ups and downs. I couldn't do it without you. You challenge me every single day. And I hope you remember what I said at our wedding, that you're my teammate for life. And I'm so blessed beyond words to be able to start this journey with you and our kids in our beautiful new city of Memphis. And again, thank you, everyone, for helping me be the person, the coach that I am today.
All right. Questions, Maggie, Jeff,
and
Mike.
Hey, guys, over here. Hi, Zach. Everybody, Coach. Let's start with Zach. Tell us about the search and how this went and how what made you exactly zero in on Taylor and you know, it took 2 months, a little bit about the length of time.
Absolutely. So as we hit on a little bit at the outset, we intended and completed a comprehensive search. We spoke to a number of qualified individuals from diverse backgrounds all around the world. We took our time, we did our homework, we did multiple rounds of interviews. We focused on, you know, basketball-specific items. We focused on company-specific items. In working through that process and kind of narrowing down with a few individuals, it started to become clearer and clearer that Taylor was really the partner that we were looking for. You know, we wanted someone who had, you know, incredible basketball acumen, but also the ability to connect with people. You know, that's obviously an incredibly important part of, you know, what we're doing here. Connecting with players, connecting with the staff, being able to collaborate effectively with the front office. The more that we got to know Taylor, the more it became obvious that he was the right guy for us to work with here, to partner with.
Omari Sankofa of The Athletic. This is for all three of you. Lots been said about the vision for this new era of Grizzlies basketball. Taylor, now that you're in place, the coaching search is done. Where is that vision at right now? And I guess how would you, define it based on the product you want on the court?
Mari, thank you. Pleasure to meet you. I think it's at its starting point. It's been an unbelievable collaborative process up to this point, even though it was an interview process, and getting to work with Zach and Tayshawn and the group, and Jason as well. I think the vision is a unified one. I think we're all on the same page about how we want to build sustained success. We're obviously going to be diving in on how we build a great roster for next season. But, you know, the energy and effort that it takes is already there. And You know, I think we're on the same page about the competitive environment that we want to create. And at the end of the day, it starts on day one. It's not an overnight process. And I think everyone's on the same page in terms of how we're going to go about it.
Coach, over here, welcome to Memphis. My name is Greg Gaston with Sports 56 Radio. My question for you is, throughout your introductory speech here, you talked about people who have helped you along the way, and you gave them a lot of credit for becoming the coach you are today. So my question is, what type of coach are you? What can we expect to see from you and your team?
Greg, thank you. Great question. I would say I'm a competitive guy at heart. Competing at the highest level, the daily grind of wanting to get better every single day is, boils my blood up every single day. Been around, obviously, great people, great players that share that same, you know, mentality and that same DNA and fiber. Dating back to when I was a player in youth league, I was super competitive. I'm a harsh critic of myself. I put pressure on myself, but that motivates me every single day to be the best that I can be. I know Zach talked about, smart guy and organized guy, but hopefully I'm a good guy. Hopefully I'm, down to earth person, love, relationships with people and sharing experiences with others.
Coach, over here, Megan Rice, News Channel 3. Obviously you're going to end up being one of the youngest head coaches in the league. How do you kind of use that to your advantage, and what challenges does that also bring?
Thank you, Megan. It's a great opportunity. I know there will be challenges that come my way, but I'm super excited to take the next step. I feel confident and prepared. And I know if I'm in a group, as I already am, with great people and continue to surround myself with a great coaching staff, that'll empower me to take on the challenges ahead and be prepared to, do what I love every single day.
Hey man, Doc Holliday, ABC 24. This question is to Tayshaun. Tayshaun, just you being, basketball expert, the X's and O's, what impressed you about Coach Jenkins, man, as far as his knowledge of the game?
Great question. Before I get into that, before we even started our interview process, I sat down with Zach and I asked Zach, what is his vision and what is he looking for in a basketball coach to lead this organization in the future? And some of the attributes was, to your point, the X's and O's part of our interview process with him. Having said that, to kind of dive into the X's and O's, some of the things that he showed us and some of the things that he incorporated into his style, I think best suits what the players we have and the players that we're trying to build around and the players that we want to have here in the Memphis uniform. I thought it blended well. I thought it fit great in what he established throughout the whole interview process. And that's why he's standing up here today.
Hi, Peter Edmiston with Sports 56 and The Athletic. For Coach, the year you spent in Austin as head coach of the Toros, and you coached a number of now pros on that team. From an X's and O's standpoint, and then also from a development standpoint, what did that year actually in the head seat do for you?
Thank you, Peter. It was an awesome year. I spent 4 years as an assistant coach with the Toros, and then was blessed to be the head coach. And it's now your opportunity to take the vision that you've built over the years. And obviously we all as coaches pull different things from other coaches and people we come across in the basketball world, but it's now your time to make your voice, make a stamp, make a mark. Experimentation was huge. Even at the NBA level, we're going to be innovative, not just at the G League level. So having that exposure to be able to go and try new things, X's and O's, obviously working for the Spurs, doing a lot, obviously what they had wanted me to instill. And then from a developmental standpoint, it's a day-by-day growth opportunity. And I can talk about that for, firsthand experience as a coach, but for our players, other staff members, it was paramount for my ultimate growth to then go back to an assistant coach. Being a head coach previously prepared me to be the best assistant possible. And hopefully these last years as an assistant has now, in my belief, prepared me to be the best head coach I can be. And I'll take that same mentality. I'm going to be learning a lot as I go, but having that experience that 1 year is going to be preparing me to take the obstacles and challenges and opportunities that come my way.
Lee Eric Smith with the new Tri-State Defender. Historically, this franchise has kind of built its name on being counterculture, you know, all the way down to having the Lions run the opposite way of the court or the other basket. How do you plan to kind of put your spin on that? And I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, we've historically played slow down, kind of back to the basket, but obviously the NBA has moved. How do you see this team kind of throwing a wrench in that while not getting completely left behind?
Sure. Well, you know, we'll see, to be determined if it's a wrench or not. You know, for me, I think as a team, philosophically, defense is going to be a priority for us. Hopefully it's a style of basketball, both on defense and offense, that our organization, our players, our fans are excited about, that we want to be the most competitive, most unselfish, and most together team that we can be. And it takes time. But if we commit ourselves defensively and play in an unselfish style defensively, an aggressive, disciplined unit, and then offensively, you know, as you mentioned, obviously the NBA's changing, my belief, you know, great pace and space, exciting brand of basketball, team-oriented, where the ball's popping and hopping, and, you know, we're getting great quality shots at the rim and the paint from three, that in its totality, there can be a pridefulness and excitement behind how we're going to play.
Taylor, Chris Harrington, the Daily Memphian. You made sort of an unusual shift in that you sort of got your first break on the front office side and decided to go from there to coaching, which I think is probably fairly unusual. What sort of drove you to try to switch to that other track? And given that the word of the day seems to be partnership, does your front office experience, however, you know, the initial it may have been, does that influence, you think, how you'll work with the front office?
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, I mean, I would say the first year as an intern, I learned so much. Got exposed to a lot, and even my, you know, 10-ish years in the league, having great partnerships and relationships with the front office, open communication, collaborative efforts on all fronts that I've experienced over the last couple of years are things that Zach and I, Tayshaun and I have talked about that are going to be critical to our overall success as a group. Making that switch from the front office to coaching, it was definitely, you know, a leap of faith, and I'm excited to have, you know, made that switch, but I know how important that partnership on all fronts. We don't operate in vacuums and isolated lanes, so hopefully it's helped me, and that we can both learn from each other and grow from our, you know, collective backgrounds and experiences.
Taylor, Mark Giannato from the Commercial Appeal. Obviously, one of the focal points of this franchise is standing back there, Jaren Jackson Jr. How do you plan to deploy and, I guess, cultivate him after, you know, an encouraging rookie year? And I'm curious if what you went through over the last year working with Giannis, another kind of unique big man, how, if at all, that will help in sort of your role with him.
Sure. Well, Jaren and I spoke yesterday. Jaren, thank you for being here. Other guys that are here, he's one heck of a player. And, you know, got to learn a little bit about him, even just as a person, you know, loving some tacos. So can't wait to share some tacos with you. Torchy's Tacos, be ready, in Texas. But I think with him, as any of our players, I want to challenge them day in and day out to be the best that they can be. That's on and off the court. And that starts with a relationship. It's one thing to have a phone call early on, but I can't wait to sit down with him, the rest of the group, and talk about what motivates them, what drives them. I obviously have thoughts as well, but it's a collaborative effort. At the same token, as I've been talking about with Zach and Tayshaun and Robert, I want him to get to where he wants to go. I want him to get to where we want him to go. He's got so many tools, offensively and defensively, to be a stud. He already is at such a young age. And my goal for him is to focus on just getting better every single day and being the utmost competitive, unselfish teammate that he can be. And that's what I'm going to hold him to. And that's what I'm going to hold all of our players to and all of our coaches. And I think that's going to drive our individual and collective growth.
Coach, Anthony Sane from the Memphis Flyers. First, welcome to Memphis.
Thank you.
Mark took my question, but I got you. I got a backup question for you. Jaren, everyone knows Jaren's amazing. He's the black unicorn, all that. We know that. All right. With that being said, hypothetically, let's say that you were a team that had the second overall pick in the draft. What type of player would you like to partner beside a Jaren Jackson? We don't have to name names. I ain't going to put you out there like that. But just what type of guy would you like to see beside the future of the franchise?
Sure. I mean, you can look at it from an individual scope and lens, but even just from our style of play and from a holistic team approach, we want to get the greatest competitor, because I think for Jaron to get to the next level and continue to grow year after year, he's going to need teammates or a teammate with a number two pick that's going to challenge him to be the best competitor, be the most unselfish teammate. Is that him helping whomever we draft this year, that individual helping him? So skill sets and so on and so forth, the names and all of that, that'll come in due time. But at the end of the day, we're going to find the best person that's going to be for the Grizzlies, and obviously that'll have a tremendous impact on Jaron's growth and success.
Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian. Two questions. One is, did the number two pick have any make the job more attractive? Would you have been interested in any way? And then secondly, you sort of think the Wharton, you think technocrat, this a lot of smart people in this room, and yet you talk mostly about relationships. How do you balance those two things?
So your first question, Jeff, thank you very much. You know, the number two pick obviously is an awesome, phenomenal opportunity for this organization. Was it a part of the process in my intrigue and excitement for the position? Absolutely. I will say, hopefully, as I mentioned previously, the person that we select with the number two pick on top of the people that we have here working for the Grizzlies and that we'll bring on excites me. There's a care factor, there's a level of competitiveness and drive and passion that I'm confident with the number two pick will select someone that fits the style of personality and characteristic traits that we have. You know, relationships to me at the end of the day, whether it's basketball or life, you know, it doesn't matter what profession you're in. You know, I talk to my kids about this. We all work in teams. My family is my team. The Memphis Grizzlies is my team. So my background educationally, professionally, has obviously got me to this point, but I wouldn't be here without the support and the things that I've learned from all the individuals along my path.
Coach, Jonathan Marshall, Fox 13 News. Working for the Spurs and the Bucks, when it comes to player development, what are some things you've taken away that you can, you know, impart here in Memphis?
Great question. To me, it's a daily commitment. You know, getting players to buy into, you know, their individual growth and how that in, you know, impacts our team growth. There's a daily commitment, and that doesn't, you know, just start with the players. It starts with the coaching staff. It starts with our medical and performance team. It starts with our front office. I mean, it's everyone. It's everyone's commitment to identifying that individual's best path and committing the time and effort behind it. And it starts now. I mean, guys are already, whether they're here in Memphis or they're taking a break or they're somewhere else working out, they're gonna hear that message over and over and over again. And that's a vision and a message that I have. But at the end of the day, there's an accountability. And obviously that's a huge role of mine. But, you know, we've been talking about Jaron, Dylan. Like, for Dylan to be the best player that he can be, he has to take ownership in his development. And I'm confident that he will. And our staff will do that. So those are definitely things I've learned in my experiences, and that's also my passion, is getting everyone better. And it starts with our players, but everyone that'll be a part of this process and this organization will have that same mentality.
Yeah, this is for you, Zach. David Kopp from the Commercial Appeal. What was Tayshaun's role in the coaching search process? And moving forward, what is the value of having somebody with his level of playing experience as part of the decision-making process in the organization?
First and foremost, you know, in a general sense, you know, Tayshaun has in the past, you know, had a significant role in the front office, but he's now taking on a much larger role. You know, he played a role where he was kind of a go-between between the front office and the locker room, between front office and the coaching staff. But Tayshaun's taken on, including in connection with this coaching search, much more of a personnel evaluation role. So that's evaluating players, that's, you know, NBA, G League, college, international, but that's also evaluating coaching talent. Tayshaun obviously has, you know, an incredible wealth of experience, you know, hands-on experience over the course of his playing career. And in connection with the coaching search, you know, Tayshaun played a very significant role. He was incredibly helpful as we kind of worked through offense, defense, player development, you know, getting the candidates up on the board and talking through different iterations of ATOs, you know, really kind of putting them out there, seeing how quick they were to adapt on the fly. And Tayshaun's feedback in connection with that process was incredibly valuable.
This is for all of you in different ways. Taylor, from your perspective, for you and your agent, you're the fourth coach in 5 years, 5 and 7 for this organization. Although there is different front office, there's still the same ownership. Was that a discussion that you had and a concern of yours that you'd have an opportunity to be able to establish yourself in your discussions with Robert Pera specifically? And then for Zach and Tayshaun, on your end, can you commit or will you be willing to give the opportunity, because there certainly are opportunities this team could have to rebuild or go in different directions, and for him to get a chance to have a fair shake?
So for me, it was an unbelievable process. I learned so much through this process, and the confidence that I had in the clear vision, a vision that's going to be shared, and the work habits that it's going to take to get it done. It's obviously one thing to kind of talk in generalities, but there were many specifics about how you do it day in and day out, and that just gave me an ultimate confidence that, you know, we keep throwing the word partner around. It goes beyond that. I mean, I hope there's friendships beyond this, that, you know, we're going to be able to take the challenges that we have through that collective vision, and we know that it's going to be ups and downs. We're going to have our successes. We're going to have our mistakes. We want to be perfect, but we know that it's going to take a team to do that, and that's what made me so excited about this opportunity, and there was no concern whatsoever.
And from the front office perspective, from the organizational perspective, you know, want to make very clear that we're taking the long view on this. You know, this is, you know, we're not going to get there overnight. It's going to take a lot of hard work. It's going to take a lot of, you know, obstacles and failure along the way. But to get there over time, you know, in establishing Taylor as our partner to work with on this, the organization has made a significant commitment to Taylor, a long-term commitment, and we're collectively vested in making sure that we get to that sustainable, special place that we're building towards over time.
I mean, just to echo what both of them said, you know, this is not a situation where, you know, we value Taylor in so many different ways and what he means to us and what he means to this franchise. So this is not a situation where it's going to be a short-term process. And me and Zach talked about that. We talked about, you know, the vision and the progress and what we're trying to go. And this is not going to be a situation where it's a short-term thing. And that's the belief and the confidence that we have in Taylor to be able to instill in the guys that we have and instill in the guys that we continue to get, that he stays in that mold that he has shown you guys so far up to this point. You know, he talked about all the different guys that meant so much to him, and he got emotional about that. So you know the willingness and the competitiveness and the drive that he has, and that's what we like about him. And going forward with that, that's our plan, is to be patient in the process and moving forward in that direction.
This one's for Coach Sudhi Upadhyay at WMC Action News 5. You mentioned Brad Jones, obviously. What is that relationship like? He is here. Will you consider possibly elevating him to the Grizzlies bench?
Yeah, Coach Jones has been instrumental in my growth. You know, he became head coach in Austin, my third year in Austin, and kind of took this young coach that was absorbing everything, X's and O's, player development, driving vans back and forth, and, you know, being on conference calls with the league and so on and so forth, and would sit me down on his patio in our apartment complex and just talk about the big picture, talk about living in the gray, not everything's black and white, and took it to a deeper level where he just wanted to get to know me and care about me as a person, not just as a coach. I mean, he instilled in me so much confidence, responsibility to, you know, grow my coaching acumen and abilities. But even to this day, talking about his family, getting to know Lori and the kids and how much they meant to him and how I was beginning my journey with my wife and my children. And he's someone, obviously, I will continue to keep close to me, and we will obviously, you know, discuss the staff, and if, you know, hope, you know, he has a place on there, and, you know, at the end of the day, do what's best for everyone involved.
Clayton Collier, ABC 24. Coach, have you had a chance to talk to Jonas Valanciunas yet? And then for Tayshaun and Zach, is the expectation that he will be opting in? I don't know if you've been given an idea at all, either way.
Thank you, Clayton. So yes, I actually did. I spoke to him yesterday over WhatsApp. He's over in Norway right now. He was, I think, a day-long fishing trip on the seas, and said his legs were tired. It was great. We had a great conversation, and I'm appreciative of him taking the time, because I imagine he was whooped and ready to hit the sack. But he's excited for me. The warm welcome that I've received from him and all the other guys I've spoken to, it means the world to me. It shows me, you know, these are the types of individuals I want to work with, and You know, I'm excited to continue talking with him, but hopefully got a good night's sleep and he's enjoying his time abroad.
And from the front office end, well, we won't comment on the contractual matter. We will say Jonas did a tremendous job. You know, I think both on and off the court during the few months that we had him here. We have a strong appreciation for how Jonas carries himself, the example that he sets. Certainly, you know, a big-time bucket getter who can bully guys around the rim, but screen setter, re-screen setter, the spacing that he helped create over the last few months of the season, unique skill set.
Yes, Lee Smith, new Tri-State defender. First, a question for Tay and Zach, and then one for you, Coach. We hear language like, you know, patience with the process, and it's going to take some time to develop this. Fans may process that as be prepared that we may not have as many in the win column. Come this time next year, what criteria will you use to know that you've had a successful or an unsuccessful season, and how will you know when you got there? And then for Coach, are you planning to coach Summer League?
Yeah, so we care deeply about winning. You know, we're always going to care deeply about winning here in Memphis. Instilling a culture of competition is critical in developing the guys that we have, both young and veteran. You know, there's not going to be any number that we're not going to, you know, make, you know, broad proclamations of, you know, winning X amount of games. You know, what matters to me, what matters to us, is that we're working to improve every single day.
Lee, yes, I'm super excited to be coaching the Summer League team. That's my plan. I can't wait to get to work with our players and our coaches, and this is all a great build up to, you know, the start of this upcoming season. And you know, for me, it's also just building our habits, how we're going to work day in, day out, discovering who we are, you know, what we want to be, and the process to how we're going to go about doing that.
I have time for a few more. We're doing Mike and Jarvis.
Okay, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't.
Mike,
I yield my time.
Michael Wallace, Grind City Media. Congratulations, Coach. Congratulations, you two as well, on the coaching search there. Coach, first and foremost, you mentioned Jonas. Have you had a chance to talk to Mike Conley, and what was the nature of that, if you did? And secondly, how do you prioritize sort of building out your coaching staff to sort of supplement your strengths and also augment some of the things that you need to build on in terms of how you relate as a head coach now?
Definitely. Thank you, Mike. Had a great initial dialogue with Mike. He was, you know, as all these guys have been, super excited for me. Can't wait to keep talking to him and building that relationship. I've got the utmost respect for Mike from afar, the all-star level caliber player he is, the great teammate he is, and as you've heard me talk a lot about competitor, and he embodies that, how he competes for his team and competes for his city. So super excited to build that relationship. And as far as the staff, you know, I look forward to working with the collaborative process with Zach and Tayshawn, and talking about the, you know, different coaches we want to consider to bring in. At the end of the day, I want competitors. We want to get people in here that are going to strive to make our players better, make me better. And it's a diverse background. I can't tell you exactly, you know, were they a former coach or former player, but that they have a passion for the game and a passion for teaching, because that's what I want to embody every single day. And as we go through time, their diversity will augment the things that I know I need to get better at, but they will also enhance my strengths, because it's a collective effort to take this team where we want to go.
Okay. All right. Sorry, I didn't introduce myself first. Okay. I'm Jarvis Greer, WMC Action News 5, and welcome to Memphis from me and everybody else. You were emotional at the beginning of this. Tayshawn talked about that's what they liked about it. Is that what we'll see from you on the bench? Or are you going to be a rolled-up newspaper guy, or are you going to be up there jumping and screaming?
I think you're actually, Jarvis, thank you. I think you're probably a little bit more emotional when you're an assistant coach. You're diving into scout reports, and we walked through that play, and people watching are probably making fun of me for saying stuff like that. But jumping in front of the bench. won't live that down. But 100% unequivocally, you will see a passion that dates back to when I was a little kid playing youth sports. There's a care. There's a love for this game. I obviously get emotional because, you know, these words aren't used lightly. I'm truly blessed, like, beyond means, with my family, my friends, my career. I get to do what I love every single day, and I want to impart that on the people I work with, our players. So to go through the grind of working every single day to compete and get better and attain the goals that we'll ultimately set for ourselves, I want to defend that. with a veracity and a passion and energy. Can't say I'm going to take my jacket off or, you know, stomp my feet like my head coach used to do in high school. But I'm going to give it everything I got.
Zach, following up on Mike's question, we've heard a lot of talk about vision. How does Mike Conley fit into the vision of this organization moving forward?
No, absolutely. So Mike, obviously, pillar of our franchise, you know, has been, you know, especially lately, I think playing at not just an all-star level, arguably even in an all-NBA level, had a phenomenal season, and the impact that Mike has made and is continuing to make both on and off the court here is difficult to understate. Not going to go into specific, you know, rumors and speculation and all that, but we could not, you know, value Mike more, you know, more significantly here.
And then a follow-up for Taylor. From what I understand, it was a bit of a struggle getting here today. Could you take us through the last 24 hours since the announcement that you were the head coach?
Sure. I'll lead with this line, and the players are going to hear this a lot. Control what you can control in life, not just on the basketball court. So for me, you know, my family, we got word of this great opportunity, quick turnaround to be here and be in front of everyone. And we had to pack pretty quick, and, you know, family of six to, you know, sprint on down to the Milwaukee airport and connect in Atlanta. And, you know, sometimes you can, you know, fight fate with maintenance issues. So spent the night in Atlanta, got up early and, you know, got here and ready to rock and roll.
Coach over here, Greg Gaston again with Sports 56 Radio. So you were talking earlier about diversity on the coaching staff. As you probably heard today, maybe you didn't because you're running around, but Cleveland with that landmark decision to hire a sitting women's head basketball coach with Cal. I know you have your ties with San Antonio. I'm not sure if they cross with Becky Hammond, but there's another example. Will that be in consideration for your staff, a women's coach?
Absolutely. I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, I think finding the best coaches, whatever their background, whatever, you know, coaching experience they have. I know Becky from my days in San Antonio, phenomenal player, phenomenal coach, pioneer, great person as well. So, you know, as we sit down and talk about all the, you know, endless list of candidates that, you know, we want to go after, just be reassured we're going to find the best coaches that are going to help our team get better every single day and compete at the highest level.
All right, last question.
For the coach again, Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian. In terms of look-taking the long view, as that plays out in individual games, there are moments when you can develop players, and there are moments when you put them in positions that may not produce a win or that are more likely to. Are you going to try to – do you coach with the long view in mind or with the let's win tonight view in mind? Or how do you balance those because they're not always in confluence?
Yeah, it's definitely a great question. But to me, we're going to go into every single game and take all the habits and the work that we've put in and day out to compete till the final whistle. So, you know, talk about long view, short view. I just want our guys to compete. That's all that matters. You know, we want to win, as Zach said. Winning's super important. But we're going to take the process of getting better and applying that in the games and focusing on our habits.